Good morning. I'm happy to see each one of you. We have a few announcements this morning. Roy?
Good morning. Any and all youth, whether you're in youth choir or not, next Sunday, the 15th, we're going to have our first get-together, and we won't be singing at all. So if you aren't interested in being in youth choir but want to eat free food, you should come. And we'll work on you on the 15th at 9 a.m. in the Adult Lounge. So plan on seeing you then.
Carrie?
Good morning. The Spiritual Journeys Committee is excited to start our healing journey today. After worship in the Adult Lounge, we will be having our program on pet therapy, which will be led by Lollipop Farm. I heard there's going to be some special guests that go woof, woof, woof. And some special guests that go, and if you can't see, that's my bunny face. There'll also be refreshments, as you can see. I'm starting to wear some of them already. Also, outside the door, if you're still interested in joining the journey and you haven't signed up yet, you can do so on your way in to the pet therapy program. So we'll have sign-up sheets available right outside the Adult Lounge. So we hope you all can join us. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. And I'd like to remind everyone that next Sunday is kickoff Sunday, and church school, Sunday school will begin for children ages 3 through 6th grade during worship. You will bring your children here, and I'll call them forward for the thoughts of worship. I'm going to call you forward, too. And then we're going to send you out for a meet and greet with the teachers. Also, then after worship, the junior high and senior high classes will begin church school, and Sunday night youth group will begin. So it's a busy, wonderful Sunday next week. Let us prepare ourselves for worship.
Thank you. please stand, if able, for the call to worship. Morning has broken. A new day has dawned. God's gift of life is renewed in you and in me.
God is here.
Let us praise God who meets us in new ways today and in every day of our lives. Voice of God, our Creator, calling us now.
Worship a God who forgives us over and over again. So let us come together praying the prayer of confession. Let us pray. God of endless possibilities, we confess that we do not always perceive the opportunities you place before us. Caught up in our own hopes, plans, and fantasies, we are often crushed when they disappoint us. We are slow to see the open pathways that you set before us. Open our eyes that we may accept the new life you offer us and thus show forth the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, God, we ask that you hear our silent prayers of confession. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone. A new life has begun. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. I'd like to invite the children forward. Good morning. How many of you started school this week? Well, last week. I want you to know that I was praying for you as you began your new school year. I was praying that it was going to be a wonderful school year and that you were going to learn lots about God's world, because it's a beautiful world. You know, also today I brought some things to show you. Well, the first thing I'm going to show you is this plaque. My daughter made this when she was a very small little girl. Look, she put her initials up in the top, see? E.S. Erica Strawbridge. Well, then, when she got bigger, she made me this just a few years ago. I love them both. I keep them both in my house. This hangs in my kitchen. Sometimes I put flowers on my table in this. I wanted to show you something else, too. This is a plate. I got it in Hungary on a trip. A potter made it there. I wanted to have something to remember Hungary, and so I bought this plate. I brought it home. Now, there's one thing all three of these things have in common. You know what it is? Actually, there are two things. They're made with clay. That's exactly right. And when someone makes something in clay, what is that person called? Does anybody know? A potter. That's right, a potter. Oh, you all learned a lot in school this week. So I think it's a lot of fun to play with clay, don't you? I think you can make, one of the things I like about clay is that, like, you can make something. Let's see. I can make a snake. And I can make a circle. And then if I get tired of that, I can just ball it up in a wad. I can make something totally different. Maybe a bowl. Yeah. That's great, because you can just, like, keep working with it until it gets to be exactly like you want it to be. I think it's fun creating things. Do you like to create things? Yeah, I do too. And when we create things, we change things all the time, don't we? We like make things different. You know, God created our world. And in the scripture we're going to read this morning, we find that God says, I created you and I hold you in my hands. Isn't that a wonderful thought, to think that we are held in the hands of God? Well, I think God thinks creating is pretty important. So, this morning during the sermon, I'm going to talk a lot about creating. But what I'd like for you to do while I'm talking is to create yourselves. So I have for each one of you a bag of clay and a paper plate. Now you can work on the paper plate, and a wipey to wipe your hands. So, this is kind of special clay. Have you ever worked with model magic before? Yeah, the good thing about model magic is that you can make it, you can keep working with it until it gets exactly like you want it to look. And then you can leave it, and it'll dry out, and you'll have a piece of pottery. So, you can sort of search through and see what color you want. And then we'll have a prayer. Find something you like? Okay. Good. Great. All right. Let's pray. Ready to pray? Thank you, God, for creating our beautiful world. Help us to look after it. Help us to be creators too. Amen. All right, you may go back with your families. The first reading of the word this morning is from Jeremiah 18. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Come down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hands, and he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as the potter has done, says the Lord, just like the clay in the potter's hands, so you are in my hand. O house of Israel, at one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns away from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I have intended to bring on it. And at another moment, I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I have intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I am a potter, shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil ways and amend your ways and your doings."
The beautiful Hungarian landscape captivated us as we traveled through the countryside to Rosika's pottery shop. The 13 of us, all from Genesee Valley Presbytery, had journeyed together from Rochester to Hungary. We were part of a mission team visiting a Hungarian Reformed congregation located in a small village in the southwest part of the country. Our mission was to renovate a community center that had been badly neglected during the communist regime. And four of the team members were from Gates Presbyterian Church: Linda Badger Becker, Mary Hadley, Christina Mossgraver, and myself. Reverend Shandor Ferenc and his wife Anna were a host and hostess. As such, they proudly shared with us some of their favorite spots in their part of the world. Rosika's pottery shop was near the top of the list. Well, upon arriving at the pottery shop, we were robustly greeted by the potter, in typical Hungarian style. And the house in front of us served as a shop, as a studio, and as his home. It was a quaint stucco house adorned with red geraniums. Well, after stretching our legs from the long ride, 12 of us headed for the shop. And yes, I was part of a shopping stampede. And yes, so was Mary, and so was Linda. Looking at the potter's wares, the 12 of us oohed and aahed and began calculating how much space we still had left in our suitcases. Christina Mossgraver, however, wisely slipped by the shop and into the potter's studio. And while we were selecting our purchases, Christina was convincing the potter to give her a pottery lesson. Well, when our shopping frenzy was over, we found Mr. Frazetta teaching Christina how to center clay on a potter's wheel. Now, as you imagine this, keep in mind that Christina doesn't speak Hungarian, and Mr. Frazetta doesn't speak English. But really, language was not the most challenging part of the lesson. Centering the clay on the potter's wheel was the challenging part of the lesson. Well, it's not easy, for I am told you throw the lump of clay on the wheel, and then you manipulate the lump of clay until it's at the exact center of the wheel. Ah, you say, what's so hard about that? Well, this whole process happens while the potter's wheel is rapidly turning. And if the lump of clay is not exactly centered when you're making the pot, it gets wobbly, and you have to start all over again. Well, really, starting all over again is not a disastrous thing, because you can use the same lump of clay and you can use it over and over again. If, however, you should be so fortunate as to center the clay perfectly, and if you stay focused, and if you have strong muscles, then you can easily make the pot. Centering. Centering. That is the secret. Centering. Maybe that's one of the reasons that God sent Jeremiah to the village potter, to learn a little something about centering. In 625 BC, the village potter was a craftsman who made everyday household wares. His task was not to create for the local clothesline sale, but instead for the local homes. Thus, when God said, Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. It was a very familiar place to Jeremiah. And you just gotta wonder. You just gotta wonder if Jeremiah thought, why? Why the potter's house? After all, a potter's house is for replacing broken pots. The temple is for hearing the word of God. However, down the road, off to the potter's house, Jeremiah went. And as it all turned out, it was a very effective way to remind Jeremiah about creation, about recreation, and about centering. Jeremiah watched the village potter botch the pot he was making, but he also watched the potter recreate it from the same ball of clay. And the holy lesson begins. Divine creation is, in fact, an ongoing process. God doesn't simply disregard or discard a creation just because it's not perfect or even because it's disappointing. Instead, God reshapes, renews, restores, and remakes the art. It is the amazing grace of the Hebrew story, and it's also the amazing grace of the Christian story. How tempting it is to see ourselves as a finished product, a complete work of creation, a done deal. How tempting it is to hide behind, I am who I am, so that's the way it's always going to be. But honestly, that approach to life just doesn't hold up in a solid theology of divine creation. Any artist knows that there's nothing stagnant about the process of creating. In fact, some would say that the only constant in creativity is change. Like the potter's lump of clay, we too can change, and our lives can move in different directions. Change is not to be feared, but it's to be incorporated into life itself as part of God's divine order. The people in Jeremiah's community needed to hear that message, and perhaps we need to hear that message as well. No doubt, Jeremiah's neighbors were distracted by the world around them. Like a potter's wheel, it was swirling. A terrifying time. A time of total political upheaval. The Babylonians were a real threat to their way of life. Survival was far more of a concern than centering. And who would blame them? But God said to Jeremiah, remind my people that I am their God, their creator. And if they center on me, life will be made new again. How easy it is to get distracted from our core values. There are just so many things grabbing our attention, demanding our time, and calling us from the sacred center of our lives. Yet, this divine message heard in the potter's house was just that. Stay centered. Stay centered. Centered on God. I wonder, would our days be less chaotic if we began each day with the simple words, God, melt me, mold me, Fill me, use me. Would our stress levels be reduced if we spend 1 minute at the end of each day thanking God for the blessings of that day? For indeed, the divine artist of our universe continues to create us, calling us, guiding us, challenging us. And to quote the prophet Micah, calling us to love kindness, to do justice, and to walk humbly with God. But we must be centered to hear the message of how we can make that happen in our own lives. But when we intentionally make God our center, it's easier to comprehend, embrace, and rejoice in the divine creation process going on within ourselves. For we are, by the grace of God, created, recreated, each and every day of our lives. Amen. The second reading of the word is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we were once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. I'd like to invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern.
Irene Ward, I would like prayers for my cousin John, who is battling cancer.
Andrea Unson, I ask prayers for Kenny Peacock. He's the young man that about 3 weeks ago had the terrible ATV accident. He bowls with Ian out in Clover, and he's got a lot to go through. But he's up and around, and he's actually doing pretty good. So, prayers.
I'd ask prayers for my wife, Joyce, who is now is going through therapy at St. John's, doing well, but it's going to be a long haul.
And Marie Sim?
I have a prayer of joy. We delivered 230 pounds of food to SWEM yesterday. And I'd like to thank everyone here who donated food because they mentioned how low they are in supply of food, so they were very appreciative. Thank you, everyone.
Kathy Wakeman, I'd like first to share a joy. Larry and I just celebrated our 22nd wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my brother and his family. My brother is battling a blood infection, and they're trying to figure out what it is. But his daughter just lost her 35-year-old boyfriend slash husband from a massive heart attack. And also I'd like to ask for prayers for my best friend since we were in seventh grade for her family. She just lost her dad.
Cindy Walker, I want a prayer for my mother since all this week she's been one hospital to another and now they admitted her and I don't know if she's going to make through the weekend or the next couple of days. She one time she's talking a little bit and she can't talk. I was up there yesterday with her for a while. Thank you.
Your mom and your whole family.
Let us pray. Creator God, we lift ourselves to you. Help us to center our lives around you and through you so that we may be filled by you for your use. Remind us in the dark days of despair that you fill our lives with new beginnings and that in the midst of those beginnings you are healing our wounds while offering us wholeness. This morning, we pray for the leaders of our nation while they make difficult and challenging decisions concerning Syria. Inspire world leaders to explore all options of response. Fill them with creative problem-solving skills. And we pray for the Syrians. Grant them a sacred personal peace within the chaos that surrounds them. Lead them to a way of government that is based on respect and justice. Fill each of us with insight as to your will in this troubling, confusing time. Oh God, as our children return to school, may we remember the children of the world who cannot go to school because of political chaos, gender discrimination, and limited resources. We pray for all of the world's children, and we pray too for educators, for those who are in the classroom, and for those who support beyond the classroom. We give you thanks for their dedication to our children. Guide them as they teach the wonders of your universe. And we ask that you hear us now, O God, as together we pray the prayer you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us bring our guests forward.
Thank you.
hearts and from our thankful spirits, we bring you our offerings. Guide us as we discern your will for our mission. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Amen.
Go forward rejoicing that we are held in the hand of God. And let us go forward knowing that we're going with the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.